Welcome to the HSP podcast. I'm Julie Bieland, and I'm a psychotherapist specializing in high sensitivity. And I'm really excited to bring you a series of guest hosts on the podcast. I've chosen these hosts because they have something that I believe will really support you, and each one of them has their own type of specialty. So I think that there will be a lot of value in listening to these episodes. And we invite you to explore more episodes and more resources for the highly sensitive person at sensitiveconnection.com. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Okay, wonderful. All right. Well, welcome everybody to this special event in the Sensitive Empowerment Community. This is Strategies to Support Empathic Children, Teens, and Parents. And I'm going to do a quick introduction of myself. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and also a medical intuitive. I combine these skills in my business called Butterfly Grove, where I provide intuitive coaching to highly sensitive children, teens, and parents. And I'm going to talk today about strategies that I use in my work and in my personal life. I use them with anyone I know, including my daughter, anyone who's open to learning them. So I'm especially excited that you're all here today. I'm going to share a little about my own journey as an empath to provide some context for the strategies that I'm going to present. And then I'm going to review some basics about energy healing and energy anatomy, along with the strategies themselves. So the latter part of our time together will be a guided visualization exercise so that you have a chance to actually practice the strategies and experience them for yourself. And again, if you have any questions as we're going, go ahead and type them in the chat and I'll periodically pause and try to answer those questions. So first, a little bit about my story. I've been an empath as long as I can remember, and I didn't have words for it until my late 20s. But now I know that growing up, I was both what Judith Orloff calls a physical empath, which means I could feel other people's physical sensations in my body. And I was also an emotional empath, which means I sense the emotions in the room and in the people around me. And when I was growing up, I really took these feelings and sensations in and experienced them as my own. I didn't know any different. And as a young person, I didn't really understand what was happening or know how to cope. So like most young people, I looked to my family to kind of learn how to cope and be in the world. And what was valued in my family was achievement and being busy and being successful in the outer world. And there wasn't a lot of talk about our inner lives or our feelings. And so what I learned early on was to kind of cut off and dissociate from this very intense experience I was having of other people's emotions and physical feelings. And I just got busy a lot of the time as a way to kind of separate myself or cope with what was going on inside. And I did become very successful outwardly initially, but inwardly I spent time either disconnected or secretly just overwhelmed and anxious and depressed, and then sort of going back out into the world and pretending everything was okay, even though I had these episodes of just feeling completely lost and overwhelmed. And this kind of worked for me to some degree until my mid-20s. And at that point, I decided to leave my first career. And I had actually started my first career when I was 16. I was a producer and a manager in a variety of arts organizations for those 10 years. And I was working 80 hours a week. I was producing a bunch of different arts productions, music concerts, and theater productions. But I crashed. I couldn't do it anymore. And I knew that I had to find some way to figure out what was going on with myself. I was feeling burned out from working so much, but I was also having mysterious symptoms because of all the physical sensations I was taking in from other people. I would go to doctors thinking I was sick and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And emotionally, I was kind of a mess. Like I said, I was going back and forth between this kind of dissociation from my inner experience and then just having it crash in on me and feeling overwhelmed. So I decided to pursue various forms of healing, and I got into therapy. I also got into a variety of holistic healing practices. And one of the things I found myself doing was I found a medical intuitive. A friend recommended that I go see this person. And energy healing was something I didn't understand or know about, but I was so desperate that I was really open to anything. So I went to this medical intuitive, and my experience was unbelievable to me. It was the first time in my life going to see this woman that I felt like someone actually saw and understood what was going on with me internally, because she could read my energy and see what was happening. And after that one session, she said, you know, I could keep working with you, but I feel like you need to study where I studied, which is the Academy of Intuition Medicine in Sausalito. And so she gave me the contact information. Those were the days prior to the internet. And I called them up and I enrolled. And for the next 7 years, I was there as a student and as a teaching assistant and an adjunct faculty member. And what made the Academy work so profound for me was that going through those classes, for the first time, I felt like myself. And you can imagine being in your 20s, and this was the first time I even knew what I felt like. I finally understood that I was not feeling myself a lot of the time, that I was kind of taking in things from my environment. I was taking in people's physical feelings and emotional pain. And I finally had tools to stop doing that. And therapy had been helpful to me in other ways to kind of process my feelings or understand myself better. But learning these energy tools, because empathy is an energetic phenomenon, it went right to the core of what was happening for me. And then I could use therapy and I could use my other tools to really look at what was going on for me versus what other things I might be taking in from my environment and feeling just overwhelmed. So I'm very excited when I get to pass these tools on to other people, because I feel like there is more and more information out there about empathy, but there isn't, it is still kind of thought of as mysterious in a lot of ways. Even the people that I've read who talk about it as an energetic phenomenon, it still isn't quite clear sometimes how we do it or why we do it. And what I've really loved about the Academy work is that it is very clear and technical and concrete, as much as energy healing can be. And so combining these tools for myself has been really effective. And I get so excited, especially to share them with young people, because young people who are empaths and who are experiencing this kind of energetic sensitivity often don't have an understanding of what's going on, similar to how I didn't initially. They don't have the words for it and they don't have the tools for it. And they may come in thinking that they're depressed or anxious or really feeling that way, when in fact, some of their symptoms, and in some cases, all of their symptoms, are because they're just too open to energy around them versus having some kind of organic mental illness like depression or anxiety. A lot of times it is just oversensitivity to energy. And so if they're given these tools and they can practice these tools, they get to experience what they feel like, and it's a whole new world for them as it was for me. So I want to give a little introduction, because I realize some people aren't very familiar with energy healing. And I like to just kind of explain how you can kind of understand it a little bit. So most people by now in today's world have heard of acupuncture and Chinese medicine. And some of you may have even experienced acupuncture. And I like to start there because it is one of the more mainstream holistic forms of healing. And I am not certified in any Chinese medicine, but I think it's a good entry point to understand what I do as an energy healer. So you may be familiar, if you've had acupuncture, that the philosophy in Chinese medicine is that you have energy pathways or energy meridians in your body. And these are all throughout your body, and they connect into your organs and your different physical systems in your body. And in Chinese medicine, you may also know that these meridians and the energy flow through them affects both your physical health and your emotional health. And similarly, in intuition medicine, which is the modality that I study and use in my work as an intuitive coach, there are energy meridians in the body and there are energy anatomy systems that impact both physical health and emotional health. And in my experience of being an empath, there are three of these energy anatomy systems that I have found most effective in reducing my sense of overwhelm and really gaining a sense of calm and empowerment. And over time working with these systems, I've found that overall, I'm much less frequently overwhelmed. And if I do start to get overwhelmed by someone's emotions or physical sensations, it's not as severe as it used to be. And I can get back fairly quickly to my own baseline because I have these, I practice these tools and use them to do that. My daily life is easier because I'm not so overwhelmed all the time. And you can imagine also my relationships are much healthier because I have a clear sense of what is mine in a relationship and what belongs to other people. And I'm not so merged with other people around me. So I can communicate what's going on for me better because I have more awareness. I can be more objective with the people in my life. This is especially helpful as the mom of a toddler who has a lot of big emotions and a lot of tantrums. And I'm able to understand what's mine and what's hers and not be sort of taken over when every time she has a tantrum. And generally, I can hold a feeling of centeredness and emotional regulation, no matter what's going on around me. And again, if I get thrown off, I can more easily get back to center. So I just want to look at the chat and see if there are any questions yet. All right. So I'm going to talk about these energy systems a little bit. And I'm also going to talk about how I introduce them to kids. And the first system is our grounding system. And you may have heard this term, what it feels like to be grounded. It's usually a sense of calm, centeredness. In intuition medicine, grounding is an energy anatomy system that goes from your tailbone down into the center of the earth. And generally, I work with people to visualize this connection, and people use different kinds of images. They might have a waterfall going from their tailbone to the center of the earth. They might have a tree root. Some kids I work with like beams of light or actual cables with plugs on the end. The idea is that you have this plug, this connection that goes all the way to the center of the earth. And the benefit of this connection, it's similar to the third prong plug on some of your big appliances. You know, some plugs have two, but a lot of bigger appliances have a third plug, and that's the grounding prong. And what that does for a plug is it protects your appliance and you if there is a power surge, so that the extra electricity or energy has somewhere to go. It goes into the ground versus going into your appliance and exploding it, or going into you and giving you a shock. So similarly, when we have an energy connection into the earth, if there are energies that are coming into our space that are too much, surges of other people's emotions or physical sensations, these energies can go down into the earth rather than into your sensitive body. And this has been a huge benefit for me to anytime I notice I'm getting thrown off, to be able to just send whatever is coming into my space down into the center of the earth. And with kids, in addition to visualizing these energy connections, I often have to incorporate movement because kids don't like to sit still and many kids don't like to meditate. So if I'm doing energy work with a child, especially a young child, I'll have them add some movement to any kind of visualization we're doing. One thing I like to do is have kids try to stand on one foot before we practice the grounding and see how wobbly they might be in their body, and then have them intend to have that grounding connection go all the way down to the center of the earth, and then try to balance again and see if there's a difference in their ability to stand on their one foot. A lot of other kids might like stomping or jumping, some feeling of their feet really hitting the floor and sending a reverberation below their feet down into the earth. So I've had kids stomping, jumping, marching, dancing, whatever you can do to enhance the visualization of a young person. When I'm working with really young kids, like my toddler or an infant, I will often, with their permission or with their parents' permission, just intend to have the grounding imagery there for them if they're not able to do it for themselves. So that is the grounding system, just an overview. And again, we're going to have an experiential as soon as I'm done summarizing the systems. The other system, or the second system, that I find super helpful as an empath is the aura. And you may have heard this. It's again, one of those things like Chinese medicine that's gaining more popularity and getting a little more mainstream. The idea of an aura is that it's a bubble of energy around your body. And it can be anywhere from very close to your body to a few feet out from your body. And in intuition medicine, the model of optimum health is that you are healthy when you are filled with your life force healing energy. And so in intuition medicine and in my work, I help people learn how to sense their energy that is unique to them. Each of us, when we're talking about life force energy, it's like your energy fingerprint. So it's unique to you. It's only you. And this is when I talked about feeling like myself for the first time in the training. It was really the first time I had sensed my own energy and what my life force felt like versus everyone else's. And this really helps that experience of trying to discern, is this my feeling? Is this my sensation? Am I doing okay? Or is this somebody else's? And with kids, I will actually have conversations with them to enhance this process of their aura. I'll have them visualize it, but I'll also have them try to identify if they sense that something belongs to them or if it belongs to someone else. And I'll sometimes do art with kids so that they can have a visual representation of their aura. They might draw it. They might actually blow up a balloon. They might get some blankets and wrap them around their body so that they have a sense that that's sort of a representation of their aura. Sometimes I'll have them put their arms way out and imagine that their protection goes as far out as their hands. A lot of young kids like to imagine sort of superhero things, like they're wearing a cape or a shield. A lot of kids also get into the idea of using animals or some kind of other being as protection. Maybe they've got their favorite superhero outside of their aura guarding it. So there's a lot of ways that it can be fun for kids in addition to the visualization that I'm going to walk you through a little later. And then the third energy system that's involved in empathy is your chakra system. And chakras are essentially sending and receiving energy centers in your body. You have seven major chakras. They go from your tailbone to the top of your head. There's seven of them in between. And each chakra, similar to the acupuncture points in Chinese medicine, has an association with certain organs in your body, certain systems, as well as certain emotional and mental health issues. So when you are filling up your aura with your life force energy, you're also filling up your chakras with your life force energy so that you are really full of you and more conscious of what you may be sending or receiving from each chakra. And if you haven't heard of chakras before, they're basically, if you want a visual of them, they're cone shaped, and the small end of the chakra, of the cone, is sort of plugged into your spine. And then the open end goes through your body. And so the open end is on the front of your body. So you have the back at your spine and the front basically at your skin. And the wide end of the chakra has the ability to open and close. And in the phenomenon of empathy, oftentimes certain centers are too open and they're getting too much information. So it's really helpful for people to learn that they can control how open or closed these chakras are. And when you have a sense of your different chakras and what may be being communicated between you and another person on that chakra level, you have the capacity to just be more self-aware, but also more neutrally aware of what's going on around you. Because if you notice, if you take a sad feeling into one of your chakras, for example, and then you use your grounding and you bring your life force in and you kind of clear out that sad feeling, then you can see more objectively, oh, that wasn't mine, that belonged to someone else. Because I don't feel it anymore as soon as I clear out that chakra. Usually, if something does belong to you and you try to clear it out, it'll stay there until you have more insight about what it's about, or until you actually have the felt experience of the feeling and work through it or process it a little bit with somebody. So I'm going to give a few real life examples of how I incorporate this into sessions, and then I will give you an experiential. But I'm going to check one more time on the chat, see if there's anything. No questions yet. Okay, good. So I'm going to use my daughter as an example. So she's 3, and so she's pretty young, obviously doesn't have a lot of words for her feelings the way a teenager might. She's very empathic. I've noticed from when she was an infant that she, if someone around her was in distress, especially another child, like if a child was crying at the park, for example, and she was sitting in the swing, she would start crying, even though the child was across the park crying. And so energetically, I mentioned, because she was so young initially, I would sort of clear her space. I would ground her. And help her not be so absorbing of that feeling that was around her, kind of close the chakras down. As she's gotten older, I've actually involved her in the process and talked with her about what's happening. So just a few weeks ago, we were at a little parent-child program, and she got upset. She started crying. And I noticed that it was right after a child nearby had started crying and getting upset. So she came over and I said, you know, I see that you're feeling sad. Do you want a hug? You know, I first comforted her. I wanted to validate her feeling. And then I said, you know, do you think you're sad? Or do you think maybe you're picking up so-and-so's sadness? You know, I named the child that was sad. And it was hard for her to know initially. It's getting easier over time, but in that moment, it was early in the morning, she wasn't quite grounded. And so she said, I don't know. And I said, well, why don't we do our waterfall? And with her, I use a waterfall as a grounding technique that she can imagine herself. And I'll sort of use my hands and pretend that I'm doing the waterfall on her body. So I'll say, okay, here comes the waterfall. It's coming over your head. It's coming through your body. It's coming all through every part of your body, and it's going down to the center of the earth. And that is both sort of a grounding exercise, which I mentioned usually happens from the tailbone, but it's just sort of a full wash of her body space. And it's also a way for her to clear out her aura and her chakras. And then I'll ask her usually if that's helping. And I can usually already tell that it's helping because she tends to get calm pretty quickly as the waterfall washes the other person's feeling away. And then I'll ask her, what color do you want to be? What would be a happy color for you? And she'll tell me, she'll just pick any color. And then we'll imagine that her energy is changing to that color and really filling up her space. And then she feels pretty good. And I want to say one conversation I also have with her is that sometimes she'll say, you know, it's my friend's feeling. She'll be able to identify that it's her little friend's feeling, but she'll say, but I'm sad that they're sad. And that's normal. That's a good empathic, compassionate response in a child. So I never want to discourage that. So I say, well, that's understandable. And I'll ask her what she needs to kind of take care of that feeling in herself. But when she's able to separate her feeling from her friend's feeling, it usually shifts much quicker. And she's also able to just be clear that it's going to shift in for her friend and for her. So she'll say, well, I feel a little bit sad, but I know she's going to be okay. And so it lets her have her empathy, but also have a tool to clear it out. And I saw a question here. So let me look in the chat. She does the waterfall, Rocio asked. So yes, she does. So she'll imagine it. Sometimes she'll close her eyes and imagine it. Sometimes she'll use her hands the way I'm using my hands. And she'll say, oh, mama, I'm getting all washed off by the waterfall. And she's a water child. She loves being in the water. So it's easy for her to imagine, you know, just the feeling of water on her body and water soothing her and washing things away. So does that answer your question? It's fun. Okay. So I'll give one other story about how I sometimes work with different clients. I'll talk about an older child. So I have a teenage client. She's about a 15-year-old girl, and she tends to struggle with her own anxiety, but also is very open and very empathic to other people's anxiety and depression. So there have been times when she first came to me where she was feeling so depressed that she had thoughts of wanting to die. And she wasn't actively suicidal, and so there wasn't a high risk there. But I say that by way of explaining how intense it got for her, that she was taking in all these heavy feelings of people around her. And we did a combination of talking about, you know, her care and concern for her friends. She tended to befriend people who were having hard times. That was part of her empathy and her personality. And so then she was taking that in. And she also just had some family things going on that she needs to talk through. So it wasn't that she had no issues of her own, but she was a lot worse in her depressive symptoms and her anxiety because of her empathy. And so in addition to talking through the issues that were impacting her, we did a number of energy healing techniques very early on in our work together so that she could really feel what was hers and what was other people's. And what she has said over time is that that's made her, she says, a better friend, because she's able to listen to a friend and not actually take on all of the feelings for her friends. because she used to say, you know, it's like they dump them on me and then they go away and they're fine. She said, but they're not fine. They just have something else happen later. So she realized that she was sort of, she thought being a healing presence by being the dumping ground for her friend's feelings. But as she released them and got them out of her space, she was able to feel more present, tell them what worked for her in addressing their feelings. So it was a more interactive conversation she could have with her friends. And she felt like she was actually being more helpful because she was able to listen and not be so overwhelmed by what they were going through that she couldn't respond verbally or in the ways that she wanted to as a friend in a supportive way, because she would just be awash in their emotions before our work together. So she talks about now she's comes very infrequently, but she will talk about how she is better able to be a good listener, to know what she feels like, and to understand what's hers versus what's other people's. So those are some life examples. Any other questions? No. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do Rocio, how does she identify it as a teen? Do you mean how does she identify her empathy? Is that what you're referring to? Sorry, just waiting for. So if you're talking about how she identifies it as her, it being her empathy or her experience of empathy, she really, she worked a lot on feeling her energy. So we did a lot of energy coaching and healing with her so that she had a felt sense of what she felt like emotionally, and also the physical sensations in her body when she was grounded and protected in her own energy. So she could tell when those sensations started shifting that she needed to check and see if someone else's energy was coming into her space. And if it was, she could ground and protect herself. And then almost what she developed over time was almost a split screen when she was talking to people. And this is how mine has developed. But initially, as she would practice it, she would notice it in the moment. And then maybe after the conversation with the friend, she would practice some of the visualizations that we'd done, and she'd separate her energy from theirs and she would feel better. But over time, she would be able to do it while she was sitting with a friend. So she would notice, oh, my friend is crying and I'm starting to feel sad. So I'm going to imagine for her, it was beams of light, sort of a rainbow light show going through her space that would help her really feel like herself and ground her energy. So she would sort of imagine that while she was listening to her friend. Excuse me, getting a little dry there. So does that answer your question, Rocio? Figure out her feelings towards her friends. Hopefully that answers that. So it still, I realize, sounds mysterious, and it is a process of repetition. So the more you repeat these practices of grounding, protecting your aura, filling yourself up with your life force, and noticing what's happening with your chakras, the more frequently you do that, the more adept you get at regaining a feeling of calm when you have those moments of overwhelm, and also the more adept you get at telling what's yours versus someone else. And I'll give a personal example, because even now I might be sitting at my computer, for example, and I'm just maybe writing or doing some work, and I'll get a wave of sadness. This happened to me a couple weeks ago. And I had a loss recently, a personal loss. So I thought, oh, am I just having sort of a wave of grief that's coming up? I wasn't sure what the sadness was about, and it just sort of surprised me. So I decided to take a moment to stop my work. I practiced my grounding, practiced filling up with my healing energy, and the sad feeling went away. And what happened when I was doing that exercise is I got an image of a friend of mine internally, sort of in my intuition, as I was clearing out this feeling of sadness. And so what I did was, after I finished my meditation and once I had some space in my day, I called up my friend to see how she was doing, because I realized I had, just because I care about her and I'm sort of tuned into her energy, I had sensed that she was very sad and needed someone to talk to. And in fact, the loss that I was grieving, she's also grieving. It's much closer to her as her father. And so I was able to just know that in that moment, I had sort of taken in my friend's wave of grief about the loss of her dad, and was able to be more present as a friend, just call her up and say, "Hey, how are you? How are you doing?" So for me, it's I get a visual of the people that perhaps I'm taking things on for. And sometimes, it, like in that example, they're not even in the room, but there's someone I'm connected to closely. So any other questions before we go through the meditation? It's going to be a pretty quick one. It's going to be a 10-minute meditation. And it'll just give you an experience of these three tools. More questions? Okay. All right. Oh, let me see. I got a comment just as I was closing it up there. Oh, thank you, Kristen. She says, "This is all so fascinating." Yay. I think so too. I love this stuff. Okay. So for the visualization or meditation that I'm going to lead you through, it's best to get comfortable, however you like to get comfortable. Sometimes grounding is easiest to sense when you're sitting with your feet on the floor, but some people prefer to lie down or be moving. So just be in a comfortable position. And then once you're comfortable, go ahead and close your eyes. And just have a sense of your own physical and emotional state right now. And sometimes it's easiest to notice this by your breathing. Sometimes if you have shallow breathing, it tells you you might be a little stressed or anxious. So notice your breathing and just notice any sensations in your body. And then have the intention to visualize some sort of grounding anchor from your tailbone all the way down to the center of the earth. And as I said before, that could be a waterfall, a tree root, a beam of light. Just take the first thing that comes to your mind. And the center of the earth is miles and miles and miles and miles away. So just affirm it going way, way down to the center of the earth. And also affirm for yourself that that grounding anchor is at least as wide as your body. So it starts at the area of your tailbone, but it extends out at least as wide as your body. You can even make it wider than your body if you like. You can play around with it a little bit in your imagination, see what feels right. And deepen that grounding all the way to the center of the earth. And then to enhance that grounding, visualize bringing energy from the center of the earth up into your feet. So you have your grounding anchor that goes down, and then you're bringing some kind of earth energy. I often like to bring water or mud or gemstones, whatever comes to mind again that feels good to you. Imagine that flowing up from the center of the earth into your feet, and then up through your legs to your knees, your thighs. And when you get to your hips, just fountain it back down to the center of the earth. And affirm for yourself that that loop keeps going. So you have your grounding connection going down to the center of the earth. You're bringing earth energy up into your body, looping it up your legs, back down to the center of the earth. And then notice how your body feels. Notice if you've had any shift from when you first checked in with your body. And if you notice any tension or emotion in your body, go ahead and just affirm that it's going down through your grounding channel, through that earth energy loop, down to the center of the earth. Just release whatever you're ready to release now. And then ask yourself for a symbol or a color or a tone that represents your personal life force energy. And again, take the first thing that comes to your mind, even if it doesn't make any sense. Take that symbol or color or tone and imagine putting it up over your head, over the top of your head, and just shining it down through your body and through your space around your body. It can be like a waterfall, like I mentioned earlier. It could be a sun shining beams of light around your body and through your body. And affirm that as you fill up your body and fill up your aura and the space around your body with your life force energy, say to yourself, anything that is not mine, I release to the center of the earth. Anything that is out of harmony with my well-being, I release to the center of the earth. And if, again, you notice any areas of your body that feel tense or upset, go ahead and just amplify that energy flow of your life force healing energy in that part of your body or in the space around your body. And then ask yourself for a personal protection symbol that you can place around the outside edge of your aura bubble. And this might be another color. It might be a shield. I love to have a ring of redwood trees around the outside of my aura. Just again, take the first thing that comes to your mind and affirm that symbol protecting the outer edge of your personal aura in your space. And then have the intention to fill up your hands with your life force energy. Really amplify your life force energy in your hands, the palms of your hands. And then take the palms of your hands and put one over your navel, which is your second chakra, and one over your heart chakra, which is your fourth chakra at the center of your chest. These are the most common empathy centers in our energy anatomy. So go ahead and fill these centers up with your life force healing energy. Imagine it pouring out of your hands into those energy centers. And again, releasing anything out of these energy centers that doesn't belong to you down to the center of the earth. And as you have your hands on this area of your body, your navel and your heart, ask yourself how open these energy centers are. And it's usually helpful to ask for a percentage. So 0 to 100%, how open are these energy centers? And again, you're using your intuition, first thing that comes to your mind. And any number over 10%, you want to affirm dialing it down. And we haven't done a big chakra lesson, so you can just have that intention. You can say, I am closing my second chakra and my fourth chakra to a healthy opening for me. Where if you have a sense of a percentage, like often for high empaths, 10% or less is a good percentage. And just imagine dialing it down to that 10%. If it was 100% open before, now it just has a really small opening, like the iris of your eye or the pupil of your eye dilates down when it's really bright. You want to shrink it down in your mind's eye. And again, notice how that feels. And then go ahead and just check again your grounding. Reaffirm that earth energy loop between you and the center of the earth. Affirm you're filled with your life force healing energy and you have your protection symbol around the outside edge of your aura. And that too is grounded to the center of the earth. And set an intention to hold this setting as you go about your day so that you can notice you experience the world differently when you're full of your energy and grounded and protected. And then when you feel ready, go ahead and open your eyes. And I definitely want to hear what this is like for everybody. So what I'm going to do is just soon turn off the recording. But before I do that, I just want to say thank you for joining me on this adventure. And I also want to let you know that if you are a parent and you would like to sign up for my email list, you can go to my website and you will get a free 90-minute webinar called The Cornerstones of Sensitive Parenting to help you with your sensitive kids. If you're not interested in my email list, you can also just go to my resources page on my website, and that has a lot of free content, blog posts, videos on a variety of topics from what makes a sensitive kid to empathy to energy healing, a lot of variety. I post things every week there. And my website is butterflygrovehsp.com, and the resources page is /resources. So I'm going to turn off the recording and technology, and just thank you again for being here.